yung wild banana. Ano ko ang going to the market today? Ano ko ang get some vegetables and some banana and some plantain and chocho. Oh, my love, the chocho and the papa, you know the papa? With all them seeds, yeah. Oh, I'm going to get some of those and, you know, eat them for supper. You can buy the banana.
Oh, good heavens, here comes the colonel.
yeah, right. I hope those island people are not saying that I remind them of a banana, not on a serious science program. All right. Welcome back to the second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to have Dr. James McDonald, Dean of Graduate Programs at Massachusetts Maritime Academy. But right now, let's step over to our Fountain of Useless Information for today's query.
Welcome to the Fountain of Useless Information. How can I help?
Yes, of course. I see we have awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all. For a price, that is. Of course, we had to throw in the coins. All right, oh, spirit of the fountain, here is an easy one for you. You should have no trouble with this. What became part of China on July 1st, 1997? What became part of China on July 1st, 1997? No spirit of the fountain?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
Ah, the spirit of the fountain just thinks he knows. No, oh spirit of the fountain. What became part of China on July 1st, 1997 was not Formosa, no, nor Quemoy and Matsu. It was Hong Kong, you dolt! I don't know why we bother with the spirit of the fountain. All right, back to our program. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. At this time, we're going to go to the phones, and we're real lucky. We have with us today Dr. James McDonald. He's the Dean of Graduate Programs at Massachusetts Maritime Academy. That's in East Falmouth, Massachusetts. I guess that's pretty near Boston. Is that right, Dr. McDonald?
Yes, and the academy's actually in Buzzards Bay, Massachusetts. I live in East Falmouth, but we're about, probably 50 miles from Boston.
Okay. Great. Well, you're going to be part of the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference that's going on here in the 25th and 26th of April, and we're so proud to have you part of the conference, and I want to give a little press coverage to it. Tell me about some of the exciting things that the Massachusetts Maritime Academy is up to.
Well, in 2003, we started a master's program, the first one in facilities management, and then later on in 2007, pardon me, we started one in emergency management, and both of them have really taken off. We take in 24 students each year. Neither program is online, so we still do things kind of very different. We still do face-to-face classroom communication, if you will, and we do it up in Waltham, which is even closer to Boston. And we also do it in an executive formatted cohort model. And we do things very, very different. It's unlike any program, I would say, not only in the U.S. but in the world, because when we say executive format, it's not just a punchline. It really means something. And what it means is we have a program, a master's degree for the working person who aspires to be an executive. And so the program happens on Friday nights and Saturdays. So the working person still can work all week and have a family life and a social life and come to class Friday night and then all day Saturday. And they're home Saturday night. And not only that, we provide them with breakfast, lunch, dinner, all their coffee breaks, and we give them their textbook 2 weeks ahead of time for every class. So they don't even spend their time looking for the textbook. We deliver that to them. We give them their Blackboard information and syllabus and their pre-assignments. and we basically are a time saver and a logistics saver, so that their precious time is spent studying and not like searching for textbooks and things like that. And then the other part of it is the cohort model. We still believe that you can learn a lot from your classmates. And so we have 24 students in each class, and they bond and they become very good friends and they network. And they're basically, you know, professional and personal friends for life often. And they learn almost as much from each other probably as they do from the textbook and the professor. So that's been going very well. And so we start classes every fall, and they go for 18 months, and they're approximately 34 credits each.
I think you hit on some really important points, Dr. McDonald. Of course, online studies have gotten such a bad rap recently of being overpriced and not being very effective in education. So really, face-to-face carries a great deal more weight, and I think the learning, in fact, as I think it's been proven, that the learning in that particular environment is far superior to anything online. And then the other thing you mentioned, it isn't just what they learn, but the people that they rub shoulders with, they get to know. And these people are a big help in their career later on because they're going places too. And so you've got a built-in network when a person leaves your academy of people that are going places and doing things. Now, you said you had two different types that you're concentrating on. One is management of facilities. Did you say that? And then the other one is what?
Emergency management. That's the one that we're going to your conference in.
Yeah, for emergency management. Okay. Now, you're the Maritime Academy, but I understand that the stuff that you teach can be applied in all different types of industries. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Either degree, right, has a very, very, you know, broad professional paths. Many paths you can take. In fact, it takes a lot keeping up with where our students go, because students that apply to the programs often ask, you know, where do the graduates go? Everyone wants to know what their investment's going to get them. Mm-hmm. And so what we do now is we try to stay in touch as best we can with all our alumni. And in fact, we have an alumni social coming up on May 4th, Thursday evening. And basically, it's just to find out all these different paths. I mean, they don't, like, for example, in the emergency management program, it's not like, you know, all our students can go to like FEMA or MEMA. Every company now has to have an emergency manager. And it's all about, so much of it is business continuity. And, you know, it's protection, prevention, preparedness, response, recovery, mitigation. All these things are kind of interwoven. And the emergency manager and the facilities manager do have, like, if you look at the Venn diagram, they do overlap a lot. And so, you know, even in the facilities management master's degree, we have a class in there specifically called emergency management for the facility manager.
Well, emergency management is getting so complicated. It used to be just guards and badges and that sort of thing, but now there's cybersecurity, and then the latest threat that is concerning so many people are drone security. I mean, a person can go down to the corner store and for $150 buy a fancy drone and work in his basement and build a bomb to put on the drone and can send it over to some facility, a power plant or a water distribution system or let's say an airliner that's loading or unloading. And federal law prevents interfering with aircraft. So these drones really have free flight in the sky. Is this something that you're going to be concentrating on in the studies?
Oh, we do touch on it right in the opening course, in the Principles of Emergency Management course. And you can see the government's even having trouble keeping up with the changes, or, you know, just open up, as you just said, open up the paper or read anything online every day. There seems to be new and different and broader threats every day. And so, you know, in our opening class, we actually address the drone technology.
Oh, that's fascinating. I was so grateful to hear that, because that is, I hear this concern over and over and over in this program just constantly. You've said you've tracked some of the graduates in the past and some of the places that they've gone. Can you give us an indication of an example of some?
Sure. Gosh, it's like I said, it's very broad. We have one grad that took a job with the University of Arizona to be the emergency manager at their main campus. We do have grads that actually go to work for FEMA or MEMA. They go down in D.C. We have grads that the State Department came, and they offer great positions if people are willing to go to embassies worldwide. They are looking for both facility managers and emergency managers, obviously, at all the embassies worldwide. So, I mean, it's unbelievably broad, the reach now of both these degrees.
Yeah, we're well aware of the great reputation of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy. You've been around for some time. Give us a little view into the history. How long have you been doing this?
Well, Mass Maritime is the oldest continuously operating maritime academy in the United States. There are six state maritime academies. We're one of them. And there's a federal maritime academy, the United States Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point, New York. And that one there is a pretty well-kept secret in that it's exactly like the Naval Academy or West Point or the Air Force Academy. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like the flagship maritime academy. And then there are the six states that have maritime academies: Massachusetts, Maine, New York, California, Texas, and in Michigan, Great Lakes Maritime Academy. But Mass Maritime is the oldest continuously operating one. We started in 1891. We've been around since then. And like, for example, the Masters in Emergency Management, for 100 years or so, when you went out to sea, there was no 911. You had to be able to manage every emergency out there, and you were your own fire protection. You had to know, all sorts of different drills, and so it was kind of an easy step for us to go into the emergency management field from shipboard life. And shipboard life is also like buildings and facilities now aren't just standard, right? They're smart buildings, they're brilliant buildings, and just the process controls that go into them are just like what go into a modern ship. So it's easy for the facility engineer to become the facility on a ship to become the facility manager at a very, very modern building.
Yeah, things have changed so much maritime from the old days and the wooden ships and then the coming of steam and that sort of thing. I bet you don't even teach the ropes anymore. You expect people just to come to the academy already knowing that, don't you?
No, I don't know about that. When they come in as freshmen, they still get, Seamanship 1, and they do teach knots and things like that just for their first semester freshman year.
Yeah, it's been a concern of mine. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and we get some flooding down here every once in a while. And I will notice on the TV sometimes somebody's in trouble in a flood, and they're stranded in a tree or something in the rushing water, and they'll throw them a rope. And, one time I saw a guy slip off the end of the rope three times before they finally convinced themselves that they should put a bowline or something in the end of the rope so he's got something to hang on to. And it just is amazing to me that the ropes are not taught in elementary school. I think everyone should know the basics of the bowline and the clove hitch and that sort of thing. So.
Oh, absolutely, the square knot. Yeah, and we have to go through the fundamentals of all those knots you just mentioned, and it's a Coast Guard assessment, meaning the students then not only get taught it, but then they have to demonstrate and pass an assessment showing that they can tie those knots, the ones you just mentioned, the clove hitch, the bowline, the square knot, and they also have to do a couple of splices, short splice, eye splice, things like that.
All right. Well, somebody wants to know about this alumni party that you're having in May. That's only open to alumni. I mean, interested students wouldn't be invited to attend. Is that right?
Right. This is just alumni from the graduate schools, right? So the two graduate programs, right? We've graduated almost 600 students now over the last approximately 10 years for the emergency management and about 15 years for the facilities managers. So yes, on May 4th, it's just open to the graduate alumni.
All right, and if somebody listening to this program wants to know more about the Massachusetts Maritime Academy, I suppose they can just Google it, or do you have a website you want to give us right now?
Sure, maritime.edu, right? Hang on a second. The easiest one is that maritime, www.maritime.edu. maritime.edu?
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one. Maritime.edu would be really easy to remember and easy to come up with. Now, you're going to be at the conference, so you're hoping to at least get the word out about the Academy and maybe do some recruiting. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll be there with all our recruiting material, and hopefully we have some interested students that come by to see us.
Well, I think the biggest thing is the exposure. Even somebody that comes by to see you that isn't himself or herself a candidate for being a student, they know people that want to be students and need education, that sort of thing. And I myself am personally fascinated with the Massachusetts Maritime Academy, and so I'm very, very pleased that you came on the program and let us get some exposure to the good things you're doing. What have we missed? What have I not asked you that you want to get across?
Let's see. Not much. I would say you can always, email us at graduate@maritime.edu as well.
Okay, that's good. If I could impose upon you for a minute, Dr. McDonald, to kind of look down the future, put on your futuristic cap there. We've seen some dramatic changes coming about, even with the recent election and that sort of thing. And, of course, some of the hot spots are going on in the world right at the moment. If you could look down the road maybe 5, 10, 15, or even more years or so, do you have a personal view of where things are going internationally?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, all we have to do is look online and read every day, and we know that we have to try to stay ahead of these threats that are now, manifesting everywhere in the world. And at the Maritime Academy, we have gotten together and we've actually considered a doctoral program in the next 2 or 3 years, and we actually know what the name of it will be. It's called a Doctorate in Global Maritime Security, and hopefully you'll see that down the road, hopefully within 3 to 5 years. And I just think that one there, if you just look around and see what's out there every day, I think that would be in high demand, global maritime security.
I would guess, absolutely, with what things have gone on in Mumbai and other places where there have been attacks from the sea, and of course even Boston is vulnerable because you're right there on the Atlantic. Global maritime security, that's something you're going to be doing, you say, in maybe 5 years or so. I'm going to want to know more about that, so I hope you keep us informed here at the Science News Radio Network.
Yeah, there's no Maritime Academy has a doctoral program yet, and we're hoping to be the first one, and that will be the name of it, sir, if we can get it done.
That should attract interest all over the world from people in many foreign countries. I know that during the course of your career, you've been mentored by some people that you highly admire, and I know that you're called upon to do that with your students in different things. Is there a creed of living or words of wisdom or something that you can impart to us at this particular time?
I don't know. I don't know about a creed to go by. There was the president years ago, the admiral that was the head of Mass Maritime in the late 90s, Admiral Bresnahan. He used to say, "Shipmates before brothers, and brothers before others." And I think that's probably the best creed I go by.
All right, fascinating. Dr. James McDonald, Dean of Graduate Programs at the Massachusetts Maritime Academy in Buzzards Bay. I got corrected early in the program. I should have known that. Thank you so much for being our guest on the program. We look so much forward to seeing you at the Homeland Security Technology Conference, and I hope you'll stay in touch with us and come back on the program from time to time.
My pleasure, Colonel.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. All right, we're looking forward to the event. It's certainly is exciting now. This is the, it's been going on since 2001, I understand. You get it together pretty quick after 9/11, didn't you?
We did. I don't remember. I think our first conference was like in the late spring after 9/11, and we actually ran two conferences a year for a couple of years, but it turned out that was an awfully hard thing to do, particularly using volunteer resources. which we mostly use for our program. So we shifted pretty quickly to one conference per year, and that's been very successful for us. Normally it has been in the spring of every year and from now on.
And if the weather in Boston holds fine, then you will never get any interference with a snowstorm or anything.
Yeah, well, we'll probably keep it pretty early.
Well, we're winding the interview down, Fausto. Is there anything that I missed?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything. I mean, I could probably talk forever, and I'm sure you could, but we'll give everyone else a break and let somebody else have the chance to say something.
Is there anything in the way of breaking news that we can use?
You can see who those all are at our conference website, which is www.IEEE-HST.org. And so you can find out if the people who are speaking are someone that you would really like to meet. And if so, I would strongly recommend attending the conference.
Okay, good. We've been speaking with Fausto Molinet. He's a founder of Matrix Corporation. He also is one of the founders and the leaders in the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference that goes on in Boston every year. Going to be in the spring time this year. It's April 25th through the 26th. You can learn more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link. Or you can go to IEEE-HST.org. It would be IEEE-HST for Homeland Security Technologies.org. This is a famous and historic international conference on Homeland Security. And the keynote speaker this year is Kay Goss. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I think, so I'll start with, Homeland Security has a really hard job. And so I'm very respectful of the fact that it's easy to criticize when you're standing on the outside looking in at someone who has a really hard job. From a Homeland Security perspective, you know, I grew up in southern Missouri in a small town. And as I was pulling into my hometown, I saw an MRAP, which is one of the up-armored vehicles that had the V-bottom for underbody explosions of IEDs that was developed for Iraq and then moved to Afghanistan later. It saved a lot of lives of soldiers in the field, but these are military, you know, military armored vehicles. And it was being delivered to a small town in southern Missouri. I think that's crazy. I don't think it sends the message of we're here to protect and to serve you as a citizen. It sends the message of we're here to break your door down, right? It's probably, to me, I think there's a balance that we need to strike with how we provide military solutions to police departments. Melissa Flagg, founder and CEO of Flagg Consulting Services and an adjunct senior fellow in the Technology and National Security Research Program at the Center for a New American Security.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Waiting for you.